You are listening to Fanthatrax.
It's time to head south with the Fantha from Down Under. Here's your host, Adam O'Brien.
Welcome back, folks, to the Fantha from Down Under. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. So, folks, it's been a long time since we podcasted. And, of course, you can find me here, of course, on FanthaTrax.com, FanthaTrax Radio. Just looking at the latest news that's happening around the place, all courtesy, of course, of our amazing website, FanthaTrax.com, where you can find all your Star Wars news in one single file. So on the site, obviously, there's a number of different things you can find out. Of course, we've got the Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures. There's also the Stellon Geos Legacy lightsaber hilt, which is going to be available for collectors. Now, this is in the new Star Wars lineup, the High Republic. The High Republic is set around about a century or so before the prequel era. You know, in the height of the Jedi, and it's definitely a time where things are happening a little bit more differently around the place. When FanthaTrax were around about, Mark Newbold actually had a chance to check out this new piece from the Disney shop itself, from the store. And this is the lightsaber hilt of Stellon Geos, one of the many Jedi involved in this book series. I've read a couple of the chapters of it, and again, it's an interesting time where the Sith have been away for so long that, you know, the Jedi had a chance to thrive and face a different threat. And the threat was more of a pirate base. Finally, actually, to check this out in hand, of all things, Stellon Geos Legacy lightsaber hilt. Limited edition Disney Parks, one they're going to be having out there too. And it doesn't look all that plasticky, the sort of appearance that you get of a lot of the other sabers out there too. So for me, this is definitely one I think it's worth checking out if you're a collector. They've even started to get some of the Ahsoka material in the Sideshow Collectibles. Things like, of course, there's a 6-scale Marok, which just looks amazing. You know, regardless of what you think of the character and stuff like that and how much of a ruse it really was to get Ahsoka moving and make that chance of, you know, it being a bigger thing than it really was. And I think it, they did a fantastic job of that. It does look an absolutely beautiful 6-scale figure as well. So if you're in the high-end collecting, it's definitely something to check out. With that too, we've also got Kevin Feige giving the definitive word on his project, and of course that is that it's been cancelled. You think about it, if something's been cancelled like that, you know, it was something that was touted like many a time, and I do believe why Kathleen Kennedy herself at one stage there too, but the definitive answer is the project is dead in the water. And it's, I mean, it's sad, but again, it's one of those things.
Hello, I'm Dennis Lawson and you're listening to FanthaTrax.
Louis Leterrier, director that I am quite fond of, I've liked his work over the years. You know, obviously he's worked on one of the Titans films. He worked on The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, which I actually think was a pretty decent little Iron Man-like film. You know, same time frame that it came out in, literally just after Iron Man was released. And I think there was a darker take on the idea of the Hulk. Great director. You know, he really sort of brings things to a head. But Louis Leterrier trying to, at one stage, come up with the idea of a movie. Now, I think there was rumored a little while ago that he was thinking of something that would be a great Star Wars pitch. He was the one that did the second MCU film, and one that's kind of, I guess, forgotten about. Him to come up with Star Wars. Could they do a Star Wars TV show with him or a movie? I still think, you know, basically the core thing is he would get back to a more grounded view of Star Wars.
FanthaTrax.
Tamura Morrison, you know, Tem, from all of his work on the Star Wars prequels and of the Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian, Star Wars Episode 2, and many other things that he's going to be doing in the future too, with the expansion from his role as a clone, as well as Boba Fett and Jango, and the list goes on. Amazing actor, and you can find him at the Supernova in Brisbane, which is happening on the 11th and 12th of November. Alongside such luminaries as Morgan Davies from One Piece, you also got Mark Dacascos, Brotherhood of the Wolf, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and of course my personal favourites, Drive, Mark Dacascos in Only the Strong the Capoeira film, which is fantastic. We've also got Laz Alonso from Avatar and of course The Boys and Fast and Furious. Katie Sackhoff is out here too, She's also doing a Q&A. We've also got Stephen Hunter from the Hobbit trilogy, from Thor as well. Matt Doran, Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, where he was trying to get some Death Sticks. Got Lincoln Lewis, who is the son of the amazing rugby league superstar Wally Lewis from the 1980s as well. We also have a lot of anime people as well involved, a lot of voice actors as well, like Luke Spark, Ben Pendergast, Eric Stewart. Star Wars artists as well, we've got Topolo Seguera, we've also got Mark Ratz, Stuart McKinney is another one. A lot of these creative talents just off the charts as well as what they're doing out here too. And it's a good chance for you, the Aussie fans, to get out there and actually chat to these amazing artists, actors, and of course talents behind the scenes. We've also got Garrison 7, Scott Brewer behind that. And there's been a number of times when even the Phantom from Down Under, myself, has been down there in amongst, of course, the pavilions with the podcast too, where we've been chatting to some of these great talents as well too. Fantastic. Many cosplays there as well and much, much more. Again, that's happening on the 11th and 12th. And, of course, you can catch it in the Gold Coast next April.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
War is inevitable. One must destroy in order to create. We are no Jedi.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me, Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut. Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings.
Buckle up.
If we don't stop Thrawn, everything will be in vain.
You have no power.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
We have a lot of work to do.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
We've just had one of these new series come out over the last few months, Ahsoka. And, you know, it's an interesting show that sort of definitely fed on the ideas that were presented in not only the Clone Wars, but also the fact that this was all about Rebels as well, bringing those sort of two universes together. And, of course, the prequels. Of course, it's about a former Jedi Knight, Ahsoka Tano, who investigates an emerging threat in a vulnerable galaxy. This is, of course, the brainchild of Filoni himself that really is the driving force of this, because he created a lot of what you saw in those animated series as well. And it's a true spin-off. Obviously, Rosario Dawson had played Ahsoka in The Mandalorian. So the idea of this is basically the Jedi apprentice of Anakin Skywalker, which is Ahsoka, now is trying to prevent the return of Grand Admiral Thrawn. So in this, we have Rosario Dawson, who's playing, obviously, Ahsoka. Of course, she's a very passionate fan. Course, with her, you know, she's got such a talent, and in this she really is heading into that very samurai like way of fighting too, with a great fire coordinator that worked on it, Ming Chu, had really learnt to hone in on her chance of using both weapons simultaneously, two lightsabers with that ambidextrous sort of quality. There's a young Ahsoka that's in this as well in flashbacks to the Clone Wars, played by Ariana Greenblatt. Ariana does a fantastic job getting that sort of feel. Natasha Liu Bordizzo plays, of course, Sabine Wren, and again, she's a Mandalorian from, of course, Rebels, and we've got to know her over the four seasons of Rebels. And basically, this idea of the character is that Sabine has quite a big history with Ahsoka, that being that Ahsoka has taken her on as an apprentice. She's using the old lightsaber of Ezra Bridger. From here, we've got also Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing Hera Syndulla, which is great to see, obviously, Twi'lek, New Republic General. We also get to see the Ghost in this. She is the pilot of the Ghost. And Jason, the son of both Hera and, of course, Kanan Jarrus, is on that too. And we start to see some of Jason's innate force ability as well. Ray Stevenson, the late, great Ray Stevenson, personally my favourite Punisher, plays Baylan Skoll, who's a Jedi who survived Order 66 because he went into the unknown regions of the galaxy, and he's a dark Jedi now. Works like a mercenary. And he's also got Shin Hati as an apprentice. Both of them are walking with Morgan Elsbeth. Ivana Sakno plays Shin Hati, who's Baylan's apprentice, a dark Jedi. She's impatient, but she's a hunter-gatherer, a sort of seeker character. Diana Lee Inosanto plays Morgan Elsbeth, obviously is a returning character. She was in, obviously, The Mandalorian. You get to see her martial arts ability there too. Again, anyone related to Dan Inosanto is going to be trained in martial arts. There's no doubt. She's one of the remaining Night Sisters of Dathomir. David Tennant's back as Hugh Yang, obviously the lightsaber crafting droid. Eamon Esfandi playing Ezra Bridger. And he's right towards the end of the series, but does a fantastic job. I mean, he really captures, you know, the learned apprentice, if you like. Evan Witten playing Jason Syndulla. Genevieve O'Reilly returns as Mon Mothma. Hayden Christensen returns as both Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. And he'd already done, obviously, Kenobi. But coming back here, she now gets a chance to work alongside, of course, Hayden again. Rosario and he had done a movie before, years and years in the past, and knew each other quite well. Lars Mikkelsen plays Grand Admiral Thrawn, obviously the Chiss high-ranking senior officer of the Galactic Empire, and pretty much one of the only ones left. I thought they were going to sort of give Thrawn more than what they had, but it's still fantastic too. The other characters in this too, which are really interesting, we've got obviously Chopper. Some interesting little bits and pieces here. We've got Mark Rolston from Aliens playing Captain Hale at the start. Clancy Brown comes in to play a character he's done before. Vinnie Thomas, Peter Jacobson, Dante Basco as well. So the first episode, part one, Master and Apprentice, plays out almost like the opening of Phantom Menace in some spots. It's set around Lothal. Part two is Toil and Trouble. This is where basically we start to see Skoll and Hardy take the map to the planet Cetos, where they get to see basically where that we'll be able to find Thrawn. I mean, this is all building towards getting Thrawn to, you know, into the galaxy. Great work, in particular, the work Baylan Skoll as a character is sort of brought together by the late, great Ray Stevenson. And what I love about it too is there's sort of this bigger-than-life sort of quality to the character, but also the deeper meanings of where that character is sort of trying to head. That's what I liked about that one, and the fact that, you know, I don't know whether we'll see that continue by another actor or something like that, obviously. But whether we get to see that in some other way, I don't know, whether they can create continuation somehow, but who knows. But it's definitely left in a really interesting spot too. What I love too, obviously, we get to see the world within worlds and Anakin coming back in that to test Ahsoka and really give her a chance to grow as a person, you know, really get out there. So all in all, the series, probably not my favorite out of all of the live actions, but it's still good. But what I did love was, of course, the TIE's two Rebels. So obviously bringing in Kanan Jarrus's lightsaber and stuff like that, basically put together as a new weapon. Dathomir, big part of it. We get to see that at the end of the series. And, of course, just the fact that they've got a Star Destroyer landing on the top of the temple there too. So all in all, it's not quite on a par with Obi-Wan Kenobi, which has been my favorite so far. This gets a 3 out of 5.
Well, that's all we have time for here tonight on the Fantha from Down Under. And we'll catch you next time, same place, same channel, and of course with more Star Wars news in a single file from FanthaTracks.com's Australian edition. That's right, we'll catch you next time. So until then, may the Force be with you and enjoy your Star Wars fandom. Oh. We'll see you next time.
Warning, no Tauntauns were harmed in the filming and recording of this podcast.
Coming up next on Fanta Tracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.